Blog Talk Radio.
Consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
5 seconds left in the game. You believe in miracles? Yes!
And that's my cue to start the show. Welcome to another edition of the Loud Rocket Sports Show, live from High Top Hard Rocket Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. We are your three-hour weekly like together, where we bring you all the biggest news from around the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, of course, the wide world of sports. And guys, welcome to Thursday, August the 28th. Oh, I'm sorry, 25th. August the 25th. My God in heaven, I can't believe we're at this party. I'm at the end of the summer. But boy, oh boy, it went quick. I have to tell you, there's been a lot of great, exciting things going on in the worlds of sports. Not so much in the world of music. I got to be honest with you guys. It's harder and harder each and every week to find a bunch of topics to talk about. So I have to tell you, it's not easy. But we'll get a few in tonight. We got a lot of sports talk either way. We're glad you guys are with us. Hope you guys have had a good week. Jeff will be on in a few minutes. The weather's still warm, 90 degrees out there. We're creeping into the last month of technically of the summer. I think we all use kind of a Labor Day as the summer ends, but we all know it'll go to September. I think it's the 21st. And we got a little more time. Got a couple weekends left before Labor Day. I hope you'll be here. And we got football. We've had preseason for the last few weeks. This Saturday, we got some college football, including my beloved Nebraska Cornhuskers kicking off their season. I don't know what to think of Nebraska so far, so we'll check that out. We'll get you into that, and then we'll start getting into a little bit of sports betting with the football season around the corner. Of course, remember, the Sunday Audible Show kicks off next Sunday. That's right, Sunday, September 4th. John, myself, and hopefully as much of Jeff as possible, will be on the air Sunday, September 4th, 9 a.m. with a good two-hour Sunday Audible Show. So make sure you pay attention. A lot of stuff coming up on that. Love the football season. Of course, we got a lot of football to talk about tonight. I'll get into a lot of that. I want to thank Joe Biden for wiping out for more debt so guys like myself and Jeff can help pay for a bunch of kids who took art major, art history in school, and they can save $10,000 and $300 million because we all know where that money's coming. It ain't for free. Everybody thinks that money's for free. Oh, we just wiped it out. No, you didn't. You just took my tax money to pay some idiot's art history degree, $10,000 of it. So thank you to Sleepy Joe for doing that. I'm more than happy to work extra hard so a bunch of knuckleheads who won't amount to anything went to school for 4 years and we could drop $10,000 off their pay. So thanks to Sleepy Joe Another great move by this president. Also, thanks to Gavin Newsom. Anybody who votes for Gavin Newsom for president in 2024, because that's what this guy's geared up for, the governor of California. He came out today, and here's what this moron says. We're going to eliminate all cars, all gas cars in California by 2035, even though right now we have no possible way of figuring out how to do that, because electric car today is $60,000. But don't worry, we can give you a 10% break on that with this big tax plan we just pushed through. So, great. But 10 years from now, we won't, you know, 13 years from now, there'll be no more gas cars. Listen, I'm all for that experiment happening. I hope it works. But that's simply, I'm going to appease you because I won't be in office in 2035. And if you saw the mongoloids that were all over that, boy, oh boy, I have to tell you, I wish there was this little island off the coast of America that we could really call America, because these morons are creeping out. So thanks to Sleepy Joe for, again, causing me more money to pay off some moron's art history diploma. So thank you, Sleepy Joe. And Gavin Newsom, please crawl back under the sleazy rock he came from, because I've about had it with that guy. But get ready. You'll be seeing his line of spiel of bull in a couple of years when he announces he's going to run for president of the United States. And dear God, help us all if that moron gets in. Look what he's done to California. It's a disgrace. So imagine what he's going to do to this country. If this could be worse than Sleepy Joe, this guy's one of them. This guy's a used car salesman. So get ready. Listen, we got more important things to talk about. Jeff just popped up. I see my dad hanging in there. We got a lot to get to tonight on the Hard Rockin' Sports Show. So hang in there while I bring Jeff on the air. And we got this party started. So without further ado, let me bring on my man, the Pope, as he calls himself, the sexiest man on his side of the screen, and my buddy of 40 years, Mr. Jeff Kalwinski. What's up, Hefe? What's up, Frank Jeffrey? Hey,
what's going on, man?
All good, pal. What's going on with you? How was your week?
I had to put the volume down as you're bashing off poor president.
Yeah. I have to tell you, that guy, I can't even, now he thinks he's the king. He's just gone out there and just said, I am bigger and better than everybody, and I can do what I want, even though it's illegal. And he's just wiping out, he's wiping out debt, Jeff, that he think he's trying to pass that money's just going to disappear, and it's not.
Listen, the reason I even brought this up is because I wanted to tell you about an argument I had with somebody on a post that I put up.
Okay. I saw that post.
So somebody that I know, I don't want to really announce his name because he's not going to really talk about him. He's not here to defend himself. But I work with the guy, and okay, he is all for the student loan debt forgiveness.
Okay.
So he turns around and he writes all of this stupid stuff. Like, I'll comment on this stuff once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
No big deal.
Sure.
He writes all this stupid shit
mm-hmm.
about me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
wow.
I went to go answer him on the post.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, fuck this. So I texted him.
Oh, good. Okay.
And I was like, what the fuck? I says, what is your problem? I says, I don't rip you apart on your shit.
Yeah.
I says, don't fucking come here and do it. And then he's like saying all of this stupid stuff. He's like, oh, you post all this offensive stuff and, you don't know. I'm like, no, I don't need to know what it's like. I didn't go to fucking school.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I got to pay for your shit?
Yeah.
Want to pay. I got an idea. It's vehicles are very expensive. My brother mm-hmm. picked up a really nice pickup truck that I like. I like it. If I was to get a new vehicle, I think I would go after the one my brother has.
Okay.
I think that Joe,
mm-hmm.
Sleepy Joe, whatever you want to call him,
Sleepy Joe,
should do a little because I'm paying for everybody else's
right
schooling. Everybody should kick in like $2 and allow me to buy this truck.
Sounds fair.
And I think it is. And, I don't have to have every option there is.
Mm-hmm.
But, I want a few options. Maybe a diesel-spewing fucking coal-burning beast. You know what I mean? I don't know. We'll see what they have available. If you could spend $2,500 a person per year,
mm-hmm.
$2 a fucking guy isn't that much.
No. We get a little GoFundMe started for you, a couple of bucks a person.
Sure, why not?
You know what, Jeff? Frankie's right. Here's the thing. If you really wanted to do this right for people, then you know what? Here's what you do. You go say, you know what? Instead of paying, do you know that these
hold
most...
Wait, hold on. I'm sorry, Tom. I don't mean to cut you off. Frank, you're wrong. It can't happen. You're a white male. It can't happen. You need to pay for everybody else. You have a mortgage?
Yep.
You don't have to come on here and rub it in everybody else's faces that you have a mortgage and a home.
Right.
That's really fucked up on your part. You should take in two refugees. Two. Okay?
Yes.
Make sure you find one that looks like a leper, too.
Yeah. Well, if you really wanted to, listen, I don't want to get too off into the tangent on this, but if you really wanted to help people who have these loans, how about saying, you know what, instead of paying, because these loans go out at almost 10%, so why not say, you know what, for the next 18 months, your loan is going to be 2.5% or 3%. That way, the money keeps getting paid back, but the interest is lowered down a little bit.
How about this? You want to do the right thing? Okay. My wife had a student loan.
Yeah.
Okay. She had four student loans,
mm-hmm.
and they were put into two payments. So when you made one payment, it took care of two loans. The other payment took care of two loans.
Got it.
So we were able to pay one off when we sold the house. Mm-hmm. But that's another story. But we had another one that we were paying off a little at a time. But we kept getting ahead of the loan
mm-hmm.
because we were throwing them like $100 or $150
right.
every month. So now if you show that you're paying the loan,
right,
or you got to put in for a special hardship, like you just said, lower the interest rate.
Yeah.
And if it's that much of a hardship, consider no interest on
right.
the remainder of the loan if it's under a certain amount.
Sure. Yeah.
Loan, sure. Now, every time that you send a payment, it's coming right off the principal.
100%. Yeah.
With her loan.
And you're paying the money back. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. With her loans, if you were paying the minimum,
mm-hmm.
which I don't remember what it was, but sure. it wasn't that high, but you're paying the minimum, you only taking like $12 off a loan.
Yeah.
And they were like $7,000-$8,000 a piece on each one of those four loans.
Yeah.
So it was like, so imagine taking $12 off. That means you're paying it forever.
Sure. Absolutely.
And that was such bullshit. But, you know, listen, that was our situation. And, you know, of course, we paid them off, all four of them. And, you know, now they do debt forgiveness. But we probably wouldn't have gotten debt forgiveness.
No, you couldn't possibly get it. But, you know, it's just... This is, and Frankie said it right, this is buying votes. This is not helping the country. This is not helping people. You know, what about the people who finished paying off their loan 6 months ago, Jeff? Or how about the guy who busted his ass, worked three jobs, paid off his loan, you know, and had to support his kids? You know, I mean, I can understand, you know what? Somebody said it today, I thought it was actually a pretty good idea. You know, I can understand that if you went to school to become a doctor or a pilot, something where, you know, you can, it's beneficial to society, but we're paying off people who are art majors, you know, people who went to school to learn to be a poet. You know,
funny you should mention that. I don't mean, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
The person that I went head to head to fit into one of those categories.
Yeah, I'm not doubting it. Yeah.
They work now with mm-hmm. us, you know, at my job. And he decided that later on in his career, he's going to switch over to the Board of Ed because what he did is he become a professor.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
But he's not a professor. He worked for the city.
Yeah.
So how about, you know, so you're going to, we paid off your fucking, or going to pay off most of it or whatever the case is.
Yeah.
And you're going to become a professor later on in life.
Yeah.
Like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Buying votes that they're, you know, he's so far underwater that he's trying anything. And, it, you know, listen, I don't trust any of them.
He's trying to buy votes?
Yes, of course he is.
I think he's so far gone.
No, here's what, you know, it's not so much for him. I think they all know he's done. The problem is that his presidency has done such a bad job for the Democrats that they're trying anything now to win people back. So what happened was he wound up beating Trump, very small margin, in 18 to like 50 year olds, you know, middle class people making like $50,000 to $100,000, he eked it out. So right now, all those people are taking a beating from all these tax things he's done, all this, you know, the inflation thing he tried to do. So right now, all they're trying to do is find a way to grab back some of those votes. Exactly, Frankie, for the midterm, because right now the Democrats are so far underwater with the independents and the right side of the Democrats, that they're doing anything they can to try to buy back a vote or two. And I don't know if it's going to work, but that's all this is. And listen, that's politics in general. But when you've screwed up this country the way he has, and his presidency has, nobody can defend it. What he did in Afghanistan, you know, leaving all, you know, coming out the way he did, the way the economy's been tanked, all of that stuff. Right now, all they're trying to do is salvage something, and that's it. Hey, Frankie Frank.
You know what the scary part is there's still plenty enough time between now and November that he could do one thing.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And probably win back even more people than you think.
It's possible, sure.
I'm telling you, all he has to do, Tom, is drop gasoline down a fucking...
Oh, no, I listen, and if anybody doesn't believe that gas prices are falling right now as they are, because of that, you're not paying attention. You're 100% right.
Gas prices are falling.
Why?
Because he's tapping into the Federal Reserve.
Well, see, the problem with that is that was part of it. The problem is there's not that much in the Federal. The Federal Reserve only lasts so long. So
yeah, the Federal Reserve. There's only enough in the Federal Reserve to go a couple months. I always thought that it would be there for a couple years.
No,
they only have it for a couple months.
Well, again, all he had to do is turn the spigot back on, and he doesn't even have to do it. All he's going to say is, "Hey, you know what? In 6 months, we're going to restart it, but we're going to start it small and slow." That's all he has to do, and you'll see gas prices drop tremendously. He doesn't even have to do it. The problem is all the wackies on the left-hand side who want us to shut off the, you know, get rid of cars and walk to work every day, all of those whack jobs are screaming and yelling if he says it. So he's playing to the AOCs and the squad and all those morons. Again, it is what it is. I don't mean, guys, I apologize. I didn't mean to get off on a political stand, but, you know, listen, if you're not paying attention to that, this guy is a moron, has no clue, you know.
No, the saddest part of all of this is that the smoke screen.
Yeah, absolutely.
The smoke screen that you're using right now.
Absolutely.
Behind the state of the New York Giants by bringing in political shit about the state of the New York Giants. The state of their wide receiving corps, the state of their quarterback. The whole entire state of the team looking to blame gas and oil prices and fucking free tuition and free cars, electric cars on Joe.
Yeah, and Frankie, we talked about that. I brought Gavin Newsom and that guy. Anybody who votes for Gavin Newsom, boy, you need to have your head examined. Just go look at what California looks like right now with the encampments, homeless, they're shooting up all over the place. It's worse than New York. If it's that possible, they have $6, $7 gas. That guy is the worst. That guy is the used car salesman of all used car salesmen. And if anybody out there has any inkling to vote for that guy, you're out of your mind. But that, listen, to
did
each
you
their
ever
own.
Drive a big truck.
Yeah.
What is?
When you say a big truck, are you talking about a big pickup truck, or are you talking
like a real truck, like a dump truck.
I've never personally driven one. No, I've driven in them, sure. Never driven one myself.
Okay. The reason I'm asking is to really back real quick to go back to the electric cars.
Yeah.
Okay. A couple weeks ago, we had a container truck breakdown.
Yep.
And we had to have it towed back to the garage because we didn't have our own tow truck to go get it. So we had to pay somebody to go tow the truck.
Right.
So now, they sent out this huge truck. It was a big... a Mack roll-off container, 30-yard container. The guy that towed the truck and told me, he goes, "I don't know what's in this truck, dude." He goes, "But it weighs close to 100,000 pounds. My truck was coming up off the ground as I was towing this here."
Wow.
Now, he didn't have very far to tow it, and he told me that if it had to go any further, that he would have refused the job. Okay?
Okay.
So now, the point that I'm bringing up here, the point I'm using this to describe this is because if you've driven a bigger truck, and I noticed some guys out there have.
Sure.
Okay. I don't understand, what are you going to do about battery power? I keep looking over this way. I got my dog on the
back. I see him.
I don't understand, what are you going to use for battery power to be able to handle such a huge load? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And towing this stuff, God knows how far, if that's the case. What happens when there's a snowstorm?
Mm-hmm.
And when you put it, I've driven electric cars at work, and you put on the heat kills the battery instantly.
Sure.
Instantly. Mm-hmm. Air conditioning doesn't kill the battery even a quarter as much as putting the heat on.
Really?
So, yeah. So, you know, when these things are stuck in snowstorms, when these things have to be towed, when you're trying to move a massive amount of weight like a container, say a 30-40 yard container, or you're delivering stone or topsoil or something like that.
Sure, cement.
Yeah, cement, excuse me. Mm-hmm. These electric engines are not going to be able to handle it. They're not going to be able to do it.
I agree with you. And I say this, I am okay if you can find an alternative to fossil fuel and you say that's better for the system, I'm all for it. I say perfect it. You know, you got a little bit of it now. You know, take your time, get it right. I'm all for them. If you can do it better and faster, but don't stick to, you know, yesterday you're shutting it off and you're going to turn it on the electric and we're going. For a lot of the reasons you just said and a whole bunch more, you know, we can't do it. They can't produce them fast enough. They don't have enough. Frankie's right. They can't. The grid can't handle it. They don't have enough charging stations. There's a ton of things wrong with it.
Notice, I didn't hear it much this year.
Yeah.
This summer about Con Edison getting on the TV
saying, you're right.
You know, New York.
Especially with the heat we had for the last month and a half. You're right. You're 100% right.
I've been in this house for 2 years. And I got some record number fucking electric bills.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
You know, because my air conditioner was on nonstop.
Same here. Same here.
You know, I mean, electric cars, it takes forever to charge them. As soon as you use the heat, the whatever, certain things, the radio, whatever, everything runs off batteries. And they're not self-charging.
No. I get it.
I mean, they charge very little. I'm talking... Like if you pull away from the curb at 85%, you might go for 15, 20 minutes and go up to 86, maybe, if conditions are right.
Right.
Start going faster, you suck the battery dry. Mm. That's it. It sucks.
I think they have the right idea. I'm sure over the next 20 years, the technology will get better and better. It always does. It's just like cell phones and everything else. You know, they get it better, they'll get there. But don't tell me you're doing it today. And you're basically, you know, they came out and said they're trying to force people to buy electric cars and to get away from it by getting gas to almost $5. And it backfired. People were running for the hills. And we'll see how it plays out. Listen, I only hope and pray that the midterms come and the Republicans get back control. Not that they're perfect, but I'll take them over what I've seen for the last 2 years and all the craziness that's gone on. So we'll see. We got a lot to talk about tonight in sports, so let's get to that. We'll talk NFL news and notes. Tom Brady's back. Let's see. Tom and Gronk almost wound up at the Raiders. We'll talk about Aaron Judge's chase of 61 and what that actually means. Is that the real record? Will that be considered a new record? Kevin Durant and the Nets.
What is the recognized record now? This is 77?
73 or 77 Barry Bonds. What I've heard is people saying Aaron Judge is going for the American League record and obviously the Yankee record of 61 with 62 being the record. We'll talk about Paul O'Neill Day, Kevin Durant and the Nets make up. We'll talk about joint practices and the stuff. And I got to tell you, if anybody's seen the Aaron Donald swinging of the helmet, if he doesn't get suspended for that, there's a travesty in this league. So we'll hit a little bit of that. We'll talk about Jets and the Giants and a whole bunch of news stories. Geno Smith just looks like he's going to start up in Seattle. All that and so much more when we kick this off. But you know what, Jeff, let's get my dad on. Let's see what he's got to say, and then we'll move on to other things.
Okay.
What's up, Pop?
Wow.
There you go.
All I can say is wow.
Oh, well, that's what we want. We want wow, Dads. We're looking for the wow factor here.
It was very good. Education, You think you're too old to learn.
No, you got to learn.
You
got to learn. Yeah. Everybody's got to learn every day. That's what life's all about, learning a lesson, learning something new.
Yeah.
What's on your mind?
Well, you were just talking about, I didn't know what to say. You're talking about Roger Maris.
Yep.
I defy anybody out there that has a noodle in his brain to even think of Barry Bonds in any capacity. Including McGuire and the other guy.
Sosa.
Sosa, right.
Right.
I mean, you can't honestly tell me that you would even consider him in the baseball a home run champion.
Listen, here's the thing. I think most baseball fans, you, me, Frank, Jeff,
and the players.
I would think that most normal people who are baseball fans, whether they're players or fans like Frank Catalano or Frank Jeffrey, I think all of us would.
It is 73, by the way.
You're 73. All right. I think most of us don't recognize Barry Bonds as the home run champ. Now, I think it's in flux right now. You know, if you ask me, it's Roger Maris. But I think if Aaron Judge goes out and hits 62, 63 homers this year, I think there'll be a big movement in baseball to have that as the recognized record. I do. I think that most people, even the casual fan like Jeff, I think even Jeff would have to say if Aaron Judge was to get the record, I think that most of us would be out there calling that as the official, not just the American League record, but the baseball record, because there's no cloud over it. Would you agree with that, Jeff?
No, not at all.
Oh, no, really? Wow, okay.
Well, first of all, I personally don't recognize Barry Bonds. I know he was tainted at the time. We all know that.
Right.
But at the time, I don't believe it was illegal. But here's the thing.
Yes, it was.
Oh, it was?
They didn't test for it.
Every sport, Major League Baseball had it.
Well, wait, there was no testing for it, and it wasn't.
It
was illegal.
The federal government.
Correct. It was illegal. It was illegal in the United States, but it wasn't banned specifically in any sport.
So what you're saying to me is now in baseball, I can walk out of the dugout, over the fence, and stab somebody on first base, but I'm okay because baseball doesn't have a
rule. No, baseball does have a rule. Baseball has a morals clause. No, they have a morals clause that if you do something that's immoral, you can be suspended. No, I got it. I got it. But so they got smarter. They got smarter over the years, and they put clauses in there that gave them. But back then, they tested only for things like not performance-enhancing drugs, but recreational drugs, pot, cocaine, heroin. At that point, they weren't
regardless of what they were testing for and everything else back then. In today's day and age, with the way everything is in society, if you think that you're going to have Barry Bonds' records scrubbed from the record books,
no, it won't be scrubbed. I agree with that.
That Aaron Judge goes on a tear,
right?
Goes on a tear to the point where that they're calling to have him tested after every game.
I would agree with that.
He could prove that he's not on anything and that he did it cleanly, and I hope he gets 74.
I agree with that. It's not going to happen. But I agree, Jeff, and I think my dad would agree. I don't think you'll see a day where that Barry Bonds record is scrubbed out of there or even asterisked. But I think most baseball fans, casual or otherwise, don't recognize that, like you said. And I would recognize Aaron Judge as the true home run champ because
It's because of the woke people today and the woke mentality of some of these fucks that they'll never, ever, ever banish that.
I agree. I don't disagree with that.
Somebody has to smash that record.
I agree.
That's 75, 76 home runs and totally eclipse that record. That's what has to happen.
Yeah, I agree with Jeff, but I think, like I said, I think what you're hearing now or when I listened to Yankee games, or even listened to the Met game the other night when they were playing the Yankees, you know, they were basically saying, "Well, Judge is on pace to beat the American League record," you know. So they're not making it about the MLB record; they're making it about the American League record.
Let him have a good weekend where he hits four or five home runs in 3 days.
Yeah, I got it. I got it.
And then he makes up some major ground, and then you'll see.
Yeah, no, I got it.
I see the real baseball fan.
Yep.
Will know.
I agree.
And will never. What you'll get is the novice that really doesn't know baseball.
Correct. The woke person. Jeff's right.
Right. You know, it's like people say, well, Maris never broke the record because he did it in more games than Root did.
Right. But that was a different kind of. And listen, think about that. They were only talking about 7 or 8 games extra. And they wanted to put it went from 7 games because it went from 154 to 161.
Right. If you go by that, You go by that.
Yeah.
That means if you look at Babe Ruth's record,
uh-huh.
for home runs, okay?
Uh-huh.
He lost, how many, what did he lose the record by? 20 runs, 30 runs, home run record.
Oh, to Hank Aaron?
Right.
41.
Seven fourteen to seven fifty something.
Yeah.
He batted 2,000 times.
Oh yes, absolutely. Yeah. Agreed.
So you know you get into that semantics.
Correct.
And you want to just look at
but think about this, guys. You know, Roger Maris, they wanted to scrub him from the books because he missed it by 7 games.
Yes.
They wanted to put asterisks next to his name. They didn't want to count it. Yet Barry Bonds got caught doing illegal substance, and nobody, to Jeff's point, they're all afraid in Major League Baseball to come out and say because they don't want to tarnish it.
It was an embarrassment.
Absolutely.
It was an embarrassment.
100%.
When the players, during all different, there's all different eras,
mm-hmm.
and the three of us could sit here all day long and talk about all different eras in
uh-huh.
all different sports, okay? The guys that played in the 20s
mm-hmm.
were only playing the game that they were playing in the 20s. When Mickey Mantle and the guys that you were growing up, Mr. Foyle, when they were playing, that's the game that they were playing at that point in time. The game changed.
Yes, I agree.
And when we're talking about today's day and age and today's sports, what happened? The game changed again. The players didn't ask for extra games.
No, but you see, and I understand. But the point that I'm bringing out is I understand the 7 games, the 6 games. That's semantics. That you
yeah.
can do either way that you want to go. But when you start talking about a guy that cheated, admitted that he cheated, everybody and their grandmother knew he cheated. And we ain't talking about taking a ring and scraping a ball. We're not talking about looking for the sign or something. We're talking about a guy that actually took steroids, was almost double his own size. And I love people that say, well, he didn't have to do it. Well,
he didn't have to. That's the problem is he didn't. He was a great player. He won 3 MVPs before he did that. I mean, what he was thinking about, I don't get. That's just arrogance and ego.
You remember the quote that he said? If that white boy could do it, so can I.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. It's all jealousy.
The list of games that he hit, whatever he hit. And let's just say that he hit home run number 61. In his 145th game.
Mm-hmm.
And then he cooled down between 145 and 162. But he hit number 62. Let's say he hit the 62nd home run of the season at game 145. Then I'd have no problem with him being the home run champ.
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But then he did it in less games than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, yes, he did a substance. But you know what? Baseball never stood up to the plate and said, no, it can't be this way. So you can't blame Barry Bonds.
Baseball news.
You don't blame Barry Bonds. You only do what you can get away with. I agree with you on that one. There's no doubt in my mind. I don't disagree. I blame baseball. But again, they were stuck. They were stuck because
and society wasn't even like it is.
Yeah.
Back then, when Bonds did this, imagine this happening in today's day and age.
Yeah, Frank Catalano. I agree with you. Barry Bonds is a Hall of Famer, and I say that only because he was a Hall of Famer before he even started. Does it tarnish it? Yes. Does it deserve some sort of he's a Hall of Famer, but probably. But there's no doubt in my mind, if Barry Bonds had just stopped playing at the point that he did steroids, he was a Hall of Famer already, one of the greats.
But he wanted the record.
Well, it's all about ego. Now it's all about it. Now it's all about, you know, I want to be the best. And you know what? I get it. And I blame baseball because they knew it was happening. They let it happen, and then when it got ugly, then they tried to jump in and do something about it. Because there's no way in the world baseball didn't know that these guys were taking what they were taking. People, I mean, there were guys. I mean, I always like to use Brady Anderson. There's a guy who was hitting 5 home runs a year. All of a sudden, hit 50. You know, he juiced it up. I mean, there's a lot of guys that way. So
catch your
look what baseball.
Yeah, Pudge Rodriguez. Sure.
Baseball did. And has done and is still doing to Pete Rose, the all-time hit leader, and they won't let him in because he gambled.
Pete Rose is not in baseball because of his ego and his mouth.
Right.
If Pete Rose shut, yes. If Pete Rose
will not recognize what he did as a player
till he dies. Yes, till he dies. Yeah.
No.
They want to stick it. Right. They
don't.
They don't want. They want to stick it to him. They want to wait the year after he dies. He will be on the ballot for the Hall of Fame, and he will be in it. Dave might even retire his jersey for all I know. All I'm saying is they won't. They were good a couple of years ago. Let him, and then he came out with the, and that was it. So right now, this is about, we're not going to let you have the satisfaction. We're not going to let you make money off of it by saying you're an actual Hall of Fame. They just let him this year. He went to a Phillies Old Timers Day or something, and they let him go on the field.
Number.
Yeah, did they retire his number? I don't know. I thought it was just like a, I thought it was a reunion of that World Series team, the 80s.
They allow him to come on the field.
I think the answer is yes. I think he was able to go on the field with his teammates. Yes, first time.
They allow him to come on the field in uniform.
I don't know the answer to that. I'd have to look that one up. I'm not sure, but they let him on the field, which is more than he's been.
Which is a big thing. Yeah.
Frankie said yes.
Frankie, yes. What, he was allowed to go on the field in uniform? Is that what you're saying yes to?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of double standards in life. Baseball the same, and baseball the same. I mean, these are the same people who have turned their backs and let Barry Bonds hold these records were the same people who wanted to take the record away from Roger Maris because he wasn't Babe Ruth. And I get it. I'd like to get Pete Rose back there. I don't know. But again, it just comes down to this for Aaron Judge. Go out there and break the record. And I think over the course of a short amount of time, I think most baseball fans, and I can't speak for everybody, but I think most baseball fans will equate that as the home run. Think about it now, Jeff. Right now, people are talking about Aaron Judge breaking the record. Nobody is talking about Barry Bonds. Everybody's talking about Roger Maris. So right. It's already happened. Nobody has mentioned he's on pace to break Barry Bonds or he's 12 games behind Barry Bonds' record. Everybody, all they talk about since, I would say before the All-Star break was he's on pace to break Roger Maris' American League record. I don't think people are going to be that far away from doing that.
I wonder, would that talk have still been the same if Roger Maris wasn't a Yankee? You got to remember
possible.
Out of all of the teams in baseball, the Yankees have had some of the most prolific home run hitters in baseball history. So Roger Maris was just another one, and now you got Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
It's his time. So now, of course he's going to be compared to Roger Maris. That's why he's hoping that he gets really hot and he just blows through the league.
Interesting topic, Dad. Why you think about it. I mean, Hank Aaron was a great player, but – Babe Ruth is still a mythical figure. As compared to Hank Aaron, I don't know how. I don't know if Hank Aaron was still thought of the same way as like Frank Robinson, who was a surly, nasty guy. I don't know if Hank Robinson, Hank Aaron was a nice guy and people liked him. But here's a guy who was a great player all around. Hit 755 homers. Yeah, again.
But
he played in Milwaukee and Atlanta. I think to a certain point, I think the fact that guys like Maris and Ruth and now Aaron Judge are Yankees on the national stage playing for the, playing for probably, whether you hate them or love them, probably the most iconic franchise in baseball. I think that's a big help, Jeff. I think you're right.
Well, of course. I mean, come on. Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Mickey Mantle, Joe DiMaggio. Then think of the ones that came through for a short time. Reggie Jackson, Dave Winfield, Aaron Judge. You have some huge home run hitters that have been on the Yankees, even if it was for a short time. They weren't career, Yankees.
Yeah.
But, it's to be in that company alone is quite a feat.
Yeah, I think it makes it interesting, Dad, with Judge and what he's doing. He's having a great season. Whether he's a Yankee next year or not, who the hell knows what's going on. I'll tell you, baseball's smart, though. Everybody talks about baseball and dumb. Do you know who the Yankees open up against next year? And they announced a new schedule. Opening day for the New York Yankees is the San Francisco Giants. Why is that big? Because that's Aaron Judge's hometown team and the place most likely for him to go to if he leaves the Yankees. So think about that. Major League Baseball has already set it up that if Aaron Judge were to walk away from the Yankees this year and to the team that's probably the most likely to get him, that they've already set that up just in case.
I don't see him leaving. I really don't. How much money can you use to say the Yankees give him? Let's say Giants give him $45-50 million.
Yeah.
Right, he's turning 30 this year or next year.
No, he's 30. I think he's 31. I think he's going to be 31 this year.
30.
Yeah.
All right. But, I mean, unless you're a Yankee, you're not getting that publicity. You're not getting that star power.
Yeah, but if you're getting but if you're getting $50 million a year.
Well, look at Trout.
Yeah,
let me ask you a question. Walk around the street. Ask the average person who Steve Trout is.
Yeah.
They wouldn't know.
No,
I have no idea.
I got you. And again, listen, here's a guy.
Aaron Judge has more star power than Trout. Simply.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. 100%.
Simply because he's on the Yankees. And if he breaks that record, the Yankees are going to have to be in a position where they're going to have to throw the kitchen sink at this guy to make him stay. How are you going to let this guy break the American League home run record?
Yeah.
Possibly the Major League Baseball record if he gets hot, home run record, and let him walk? That's insane.
Again, I just
turned down Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, I agree. Frankie Catalano is asking you, what was the deepest the right field porch that you ever saw, that the Yankees ever had? Is it 460? Was it 460, the center field, right field?
Right field, center field was 460 something.
Yeah. Yeah, that was what when the monuments were in front of the
monuments were on the field.
Yes, that's what back in the day.
Behind,
correct.
Behind the monuments.
Yeah, what's his name? Jimmy Pearson went and hid behind there, right?
He hid behind there. Yeah.
Hey, Mike Weissman, thanks for stopping by, man. Enjoy your drinks and drive safely, man. We need
you
to make up more stuff.
Let you guys go.
Thanks, Pop.
I wouldn't have come by here, Mike. This is the last place I would have stopped at if I'm not thinking, man.
Thanks, Pops. Thanks for coming by tomorrow.
I'll take care of tomorrow for you.
Thanks, Pops.
Good night, Jeff. Say hello to everybody.
I will, Mr. Florio. Be good. See you soon.
Okay.
That's my diet checks in every week. No, Frankie, it was a lot deeper. I'm trying to look it up now. It was definitely in the 340s or 350s, and it was a few years back that they moved the fences in, but it was definitely much deeper. I can't find it right now online. I'm looking for Yankee Stadium dimensions, but
old footage of baseball.
Yeah.
And you see them when maybe it was the way the cameras were placed or the way the cameras operated back then or whatever. Some of those outfields, man, they look like you would have needed a car to drive from foul line to foul line.
Yeah.
And never mind from home plate to the fence. That it looked like it was like half a mile. Never mind.
Now, check this out. I'm sorry, Jeff. The original Yankee Stadium, right field was 295. Center was 490. And left field was 281. So think about how that was. You're talking 290, 280 to each corner, and 490 feet to straightaway center field.
It must have been shaped like a real diamond.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, if you think about it, sure. Wow.
God, holy shit.
Let's see.
I wonder how wide the field was at that point then to accommodate that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's down the right field line. Now, the right center was 385. Right field was 314 later on. Center field was 408. Thank you.
Remember center field was like 417 during the 70s when the Yankees were going into the World Series and shit.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly. I've just got a couple of articles that I'm seeing down here. But right field at one point, Frankie, to answer your question, was 385. I don't. At some time in the early parts of that, probably till they redid the stadium in 76. So we'll do. But no, Frank. No, it was not always short. Again, at some point, right field. Now down the line may have been really short, but in right center field it was 385. So I'm just giving you the dimensions. I found it online. So I check it out. You guys can find it. And Mike Weissman, enjoy your drinking tonight, pal. The chase for 61, for 62 for Aaron Judge continues, having a great year. It's a good week for the Yankees this week, getting back on track a little bit. When the last game of a desperate need, in the Toronto series, taking 2 of 2 from the Mets at home to split the Subway Series. These are two pretty even teams, guys. I think this each team has their strengths. I like the overall of the Mets right now. I'd like to see them stay healthy and hit. Right now, they're not hitting at all, especially guys like Alonso. But I think it's going to be an interesting month of September, Jeff. I think baseball has kind of rounded into shape, and we're starting to see what October is going to look like. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I think so.
And you know what? And we see it online. And Carmine Glorioso is a disaster. But
oh my God, the fucking memes!
Yeah,
the memes that they're making of this man.
The best.
And this is taking off. Like, forget about it. This has got to be the best thing on Facebook. Right
the
now.
The best one was still the one with him as Lucy and.
I had to look at it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But you know, and what I like about it is you see all the baseball fans, whether you're a Yankee fan or a Mets fan or whatever, you can have some fun and some laughs, and you know nobody's threatening to kill each other, and you know that's the beauty of sports and us normal non woke people, you know, we can have a good time. Hey, by the way, Frankie, hang on, you okay? I saw the post and I wanted I saw you, I want to give out your business, but I saw you getting some medical attention. Is everything all right down there with you? Are you okay? I think Frankie's actually in the hospital right now.
With Frankie?
Frankie Catalano.
Oh, well, I hope he's all right.
I saw his post the other day, and I asked him, but I didn't see a response, so I hope he's okay up there, Frankie. And thanks for tuning in. Tell all the nurses and doctors you're watching you're listening to the Hard Rock and Sports Show. We're always looking for new people. And I'm glad to see the return of Frank Jeffrey. It's been a while since Frankie participated.
Yeah, definitely. How are the numbers back in the motherland?
We're gonna be done with the Block Talk Radio in the very near future, and we're absolutely at our highest numbers in Israel. We are at our almost 15% of our audience is in Israel right now.
Jesus Christ! Wow.
Yeah, so I can't explain it. We have huge numbers in Israel on the Block Talk Radio.
Because none of these people talk to us.
As long as they're listening, I think I was surprised when I showed you the numbers on the Facebook where people are listening to us. It's nice when guys like Frankie here and my dad, and they chime in. It makes it even better. Pete Dagg.
Open heart surgery, bro. What the fuck?
Whoa, Frankie, I didn't know that. Wow. Wow, Frankie, I hope you're all right, pal. Yeah, Frankie, yes, we think it's a comedy show. Believe me, we think it's a comedy show. So we got a lot to get to. Let's talk a little bit about the Aaron Donald swinging of the helmet. Let me see if I can get it on the screen, Jeff. Do you want to take a look at it?
I saw the video of it because John sent it, and I was clicking on some stuff.
Uh-huh.
Well,
let me see.
Wow, I don't know what to say about that. Man, first of all, what do you have Aaron Donald out there swinging fucking helmets for?
I don't know. Let me see if I get it on the screen, Jeff. Hold on, share screen.
Did he actually hit anybody with
that? To me, it doesn't matter. To me, it really doesn't matter if he did or didn't. I mean, listen, these joint practices, I get it. You want to go out there and hit people other than your own teammates. It's good. There's usually a lot of pushing and shoving. I get it. But when you're out there swinging helmets, I don't care if it's Aaron Donald or not. You know, there's no place for that. When you rip another man's helmet off his head and you start swinging it at people, you know, I'm going to see if I can rewind that to the beginning and see that.
First, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Okay. How come these same two teams could play a game in 3 or 4 weeks?
Look at that, Jeff. Look at the middle of that scrum. See the helmet? There's Aaron Donald. He's got the helmet in his hand.
He definitely hit somebody with the helmet.
But, I mean,
go back a little bit more because you see him making contact. He swung it like 4 or 5 times.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. All right, check it again. Look at the middle. Look at the helmet being swung. Yeah, he's hitting somebody.
Three.
Yeah. Now he gets pushed out of the pile. At least 3 times, maybe 4, he's swinging that. And now I'll guarantee you he doesn't get suspended. I'll guarantee you. Meanwhile, Myles Garrett swung a helmet at somebody, and he got, 6 games?
Well, listen, Myles Garrett also swung a helmet at somebody that had no helmet on.
But obviously,
but
think about it. There's a guy in that scrum, I'm assuming he's swinging at the guy who he pulled the helmet off of.
I heard he had two helmets.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it.
That's the one of those stories I read.
Oh, yeah?
But you know what? We need to find out what was going on.
Yeah, I agree. But here's what. I heard somebody saying, Frank, you guys are listening. I'm driving home. I got the NFL Network on Sirius, and I'm listening to these Pat Kerwin and somebody else. I didn't know who the other guy was. And Pat Kerwin was talking about how this is, you know, unacceptable. You can't do this. There's no placing for it. And the other guy, and again, I really wish I would have had the opportunity to switch over and check to see what the guy's name was. But anyway, the guy's going, well, why? There's no justification for it. Well, we don't know what the other guy did to provoke this. You know, maybe Aaron Donald got to the point where he said, you know, that's it. Don't do this again. And, you know, the players kind of police themselves.
That's not policing. That's a weapon.
Yeah. And
that's a weapon.
And he's saying, well, I'm not trying to justify it. I'm going, you are justifying it. There is no reason in any way, shape, or form, no matter what the other guy did, that you're going to rip his helmet off and swing it at him or anybody else. To me, Aaron Donald's going to get away with this because it's a practice. Aaron Donald's not going to – he's going to get a fine, a slap on the wrist. He may get suspended for the last preseason game. I have no idea. He's not going to miss
– First of all, he's not getting suspended until the season, if he gets suspended at all. Because you know why? Tomorrow or this weekend is the last preseason game. There's not enough time to hear all the evidence.
Correct.
And everything else.
You're right, 100%.
So if he gets suspended at all,
yeah,
which he should, it's going to happen during the season. Now, the only reason that I said is I would wait to find out what happened is because I've never heard of Aaron Donald, you know, doing something that stupid before. So something had to happen, you know, and I mean, there's very little that you could justify.
Well, what would you say? What would you say if Aaron Donald sat in front of Jeff Kowinski and said, hey, this is the reason why I was swinging the helmet, and you said, oh, you know what? I could see that. That's justified. What, in your brain?
I can't justify it.
Yeah.
The only thing you could say is that did somebody try to intentionally hurt him?
Okay. And you know what? If you said somebody tried to
– Maybe it happened more than once during that practice.
Okay.
Where somebody tried to intentionally hurt him more than once. And then he just turned around and snapped. Still not good enough of an excuse to do what he did, but at least you would have some mindset of what this is what led up to this.
If he ripped off his helmet and started throwing punches, I would agree with you. The minute you swing the helmet, all bets are off. Because
no,
that's a weapon.
He shouldn't get suspended. Definitely get suspended. Yeah. I just want to know everything that led up to that moment.
That happened. I would agree with that. I agree with you on that. You're right. And you know what? If the other guy tried to hurt him, he should be suspended as well. I'm with you on all of that.
And Frank Catalano, not for nothing, if it was, and it came down to it was a racial thing, Aaron Donald, of all people, should have just laughed and walked away. He's probably one of the better defensive players in the league right now at this time. I don't know if he's still the best defensive player in the league.
Still close, right? Very close. Top three, at the very least.
I would say top three, top five,
yeah.
Definitely top 10. I mean, he could have just turned around and walked away and laughed. He goes, listen, you're chasing me this year. I'm not chasing you.
Right.
We have the fucking trophy. So,
yeah.
You know, there is no justification for it, even if the guy did try to hurt him. But, I mean, you know, that is the only thing that I could see that would drive a normal, you know, mild-mannered person to a point where, like, you know, that's it.
I agree with you. If you told me, hey, the guy tried to cut block me three times, I finally got fed up. And, again, if you ripped the helmet off and threw some punches, you know what? I'm with you. But the minute you start swinging the helmet, you don't know who you're hitting. You don't know what you're doing in that spot.
I don't think he gave a fuck to be.
I wholeheartedly agree. So to me,
but, you know, not for nothing that you say cut block, not to justify anything, but Kayvon Thibodeau, whatever. Look what happened to that kid in a game last week.
Again, that was close. I would not yell and scream about that block, but in a preseason game to cut like that. See, the difference with a cut block is most of the time when we talk about cut blocks, you're engaged. I'm blocking you, or you're blocking me. All right, you're blocking you. And a guy comes in from the side where you can't see him, and he cuts your leg out. That's a cut block. What happened to Thibodeau, it was a little bit of a low block. But Thibodeau saw it coming.
It was preseason.
Yeah.
Okay. You're talking about a rookie player, first couple, experiences in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you're not even anywhere near the regular season yet, and something like that happens. I'm surprised that they don't play the preseason like they do the Pro Bowl.
You know what, Jeff? I think you're headed toward that. You see it now. You're not playing any of the. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has got a whole new set of receivers. He's not playing in one single preseason game. You know, you're seeing more and more teams that don't play their guys. Yeah,
no, but I mean, play the guys so that they get the reps, so that they can get the game speed down. But you know what? Listen, there's going to be no hitting, just like the Pro Bowl. You see what happens when they play the Pro Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
These preseason games, yes, they're important for some players. I understand that. But if you're not going to play, if you got to play your regulars, why are you going to put them out there in harm's way? Look at Zach Wilson. You know, he got hurt. A couple others, look what happened to Thibodeau. Look what happened, like, in this year, to this scrum like this in a practice. This is preseason. It's not even September.
Yeah.
And those are three players that, you know, could have been hurt, or you could lose these guys. You know, the guy from the – I'm sorry, to play for the Giants, I'm not saying it was a dirty play.
Yeah.
But, I mean, come on, man. There's no need for that.
No, I won't disagree with you. I would tell you that I don't think it was a preseason game. You want to start cutting guys' legs. But I also look at it, these guys are all fighting for a spot. You know, there's 90 guys to make 50 spots, 53 spots on the team. These guys are going to try to impress the coaches, make the plays that they have to make. I don't agree with it, Jeff. I'm with you on it, but I can understand it. I think you're headed for eventually two preseason games. Your starters will play in none of them, and you're going to get a month of bad football. We've been getting it for the last few years. You're going to get September. The first month of the season is really going to be your official training camp, and guys will go out there and get hurt in those games where it's for real. But
it's already happening.
Yeah,
it's already happening.
And you're gonna have
Brady walked away in the middle of fucking preseason
to
do whatever it is that he's doing. And there's rumor that he went to do on the that show?
Yes, the Masked Singer.
The Masked Singer.
Yeah. Well, the rumor is that, you know, because he signed that deal with Fox, he has an obligation to do certain things. And I think he must have went back to, if that's true, I have no idea to know if it's true or not. But he wasn't spotted anywhere, and he told Tampa, "I'll come back, but I have this obligation to Fox," and they must have said, "Don't worry about it. Go do what you have to do." If that's true,
Tom Brady.
Exactly, exactly. It's either that you're playing Blaine Gabbert this year. We'll take Tom Brady for two less weeks and let him go sing songs on the Masked Singer. So, Tom Brady's going to make $375 million working for Fox when his career is over. If he's got to miss 2 weeks of training camp to go do the Masked Singer, I think he's going to do it. And listen, he's at this point in time. Does Tom Brady need to get in shape? Nope. The guy worked out all year round. Does Tom Brady need to go out there and work out the rust? No, he doesn't. Is it right? No. I'm a big believer. Everybody shows up.
If I told Tampa Bay that I'm coming and I'm going to be ready for the season, and I can't wait to play, and we're going to go win the Super Bowl this year, and I found out that I make $375 million, I would turn around. My next sentence would be, "I just retired. See you later." And I go stand over there with Fox. You've got to be kidding me.
Well, he had it. He decided to come back and push Fox off for a year. But, you know, that's Tom Brady, and I get it. Do it while you can, because one of these days, Jeff, it's going to go away, and you can't do it anymore. So if you can, there's a guy threw for 5,000 yards last year. By all means, stay with it. If you go out there this year and you suck it up, all right, you got a home next year at Fox. You're Tom Brady. You're gonna get it. But listen, Tom Brady's Tom Brady, and I'm sure it bothered him not to be there. And I don't agree with it. To me, he should have been there. But you're right. If Tampa Bay says I'd rather two less weeks of Tom Brady. Let him go be the Masked Singer, and instead of Blaine Gabbert being my quarterback this year. So,
listen, at Tom Brady's age, one little thing could happen.
Yeah.
Maybe Blaine Gabbert is your quarterback for the rest of the year. You don't know.
And Frankie's right. And Jeff, this has been my point. You know, guys, and I think it goes to sometimes to baseball. You know, I always say pitchers don't, guys don't throw the ball enough now. That's why there's so many arm injuries. And for football, Jeff, I think these guys who don't hit in the off season, their bodies never get used to. That's why there's so many soft tissue injuries. That's why there's so many hamstrings and quad pulls. You know, knee injuries and knee injuries. You know, I don't get why there's so many more now than there was, you know, 40 years ago or 30 years ago. But I'll tell you that I think all of these soft tissue injuries and a lot of these injuries that these guys get is because they don't hit in the off season and in training camp. I really believe that.
Do you really think that? The way that today's athlete is compared to the athlete of 25, 30 years ago, okay, the way these guys train, not where they end up, the way that they train, they're machines.
Oh.
Does it really make a difference? If you get hit by a middle linebacker 30 years ago, is going to have the same, you know, ramifications that they measure pounds per square inch they hit you with? And you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think that today's athlete is actually trained better.
Sure.
Hit harder, hit absolutely stronger. You know, that you're dealing with two different things. I understand what you're saying, but I just think that some of these guys today are just like,
it
must be like getting hit by a car.
Oh, no, I agree with you. Listen, you know, 25 or 30 years ago, your middle linebacker is, you know, 6'2", 6'3", 240, 230, runs the 40 well. You know, today's guys, you know, you got defensive linemen who are 6'6", 280, 290, who run a sub 4.5 40. I mean, these, you know, you're right. You get hit by these guys. It's like getting hit by a truck. Like you run into a wall. So yeah. I get it. But the guys they're hitting, Jeff, are the same size guys. So it's yeah. You know what I'm saying?
You know, quarterback, you can't tell me that a quarterback is the same as a defensive end.
I agree with you. I understand. But think about today's quarterback. I mean, Josh Allen's probably, what, 6'4", 6'5", 230? That's a linebacker 20 years ago.
Yes, it is. But when you're getting hit by a defensive end that's 6'5", 6'6", and 280, 290,
I get it.
It is a bit of a difference.
No, you know, I get it. But
have you seen, and you're standing still.
I agree with you. I think that being today's athletes are so much bigger and stronger that injuries are more apt to happen. But I also think that a good part of these injuries, and again, I think what you're talking about, the knee injuries and stuff, that's, yeah, bodies just don't turn that way anymore. They don't move the same way, and the force is much greater. But I think a lot of these other injuries that these guys, you know, how many guys, Jeff, do you see get a hamstring, and they're out for 6 weeks, 8 weeks?
Yeah, Frank, listen, Fran Tarkenton, I think, is a bad example. Fran Tarkenton looked like he was about 5'5". I think I could kill Fran Tarkenton, and I'm 56. Me versus Fran Tarkenton in his prime, and I'm saying I'm taking Fran Tarkenton out.
Yeah, and Frankie Catalano, I have a problem with it because, you know, Aaron Rodgers isn't playing. Like watching these games is rough. I mean, I watch them because I want to keep up on who's the, you know, these young kids are. But you can't tell me that Russell Wilson going into September isn't going to be a little behind where he should be. I don't care how much you throw in a 7-on-7 drill or 11-on-11 drill with a red jersey on. Jeff, it ain't the same as the guy who's playing in the preseason game and getting chased by the 6'6", 350-pound defensive end from the other team who's trying to take his head off.
But, Tom, these guys, they work out differently, man. Some of these guys are working out year-round. They don't just sit at home and wait.
No,
they
got that.
They work out year-round. So I understand what you're saying. And, Frank, you bring up a good point about the playing field. And, yes, I would catch Fred talking, just for the record. But the field, we have some AstroTurf fields, not AstroTurf, but that fake grass at work. It's a slippery field. You go to plant your leg, and you know, your knee keeps sliding or whatever, ripping a muscle or tearing ligaments. I could see it happen on the field, so I agree with you on that, without a doubt. AstroTurf was non-forgiving.
Yeah.
That was just like playing on green cement.
Yeah,
your foot got stuck in there, that was it.
I got scars on me. I got scars on me from playing on the AstroTurf, but I enjoyed it.
One time we were playing at Newdorf, and there were some other kids there, and we chose up sides or whatever had happened. And I remember you screaming, a blood-curdling scream because your knee bent back or something the wrong way. And I'll never forget the scream. I'll never forget it. And I was like, this kid's leg is fucking broken.
Yeah.
You know, and how you walked off the field, to your credit. You didn't play anymore, but you walked off the field, from what I remember.
Yeah.
But it was bad. And that was the old-fashioned AstroTurf.
Oh, absolutely. It was worse was Susan Wagner. Susan Wagner was like somebody took an indoor-outdoor rug from your or your mat from your front door and threw it over the top of concrete. That, I'm telling you, I loved playing on Susan Wagner. It was one of the most, Frankie, tell you, it's some of the best games we ever got to play in. But when you hit the ground on that field, it was like I'm telling you, you ever get see those green welcome mats that you, people have outside the door? It was like that on top of concrete. And it just, you hit the ground and you were like, oh, my God in heaven, what did I do to deserve this?
Yes, I hit my knee. And I'm not comparing anything that I went through to anybody, but I, one time that I got hurt, I hit my knee right on the inside of my knee on the bone.
Ooh.
And I hit the turf.
Yeah.
I threw it off.
Ooh.
Okay. My knee hurt for months. I don't know if I fractured it or it was a bone, a bruised bone, whatever it is. I did something to that knee. It was my right knee and it hurt for months afterwards. You know, like you felt
yeah.
it.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, holy shit. Like it would be like a stinger. It hurt for the longest time. You know,
yeah,
but not for nothing, it also helped me in a little slower than the rest of the pack. So you weren't yeah. given a high speed position.
Well, it wasn't reducing your top strength of your professional abilities. So, yeah. Hard Rocket Sports, Jeff and Tom hanging out there with you guys tonight, having some fun, just talking a little bit of general stuff. We got a lot to get to Stone, so thanks for hanging in there. Then remember, starting this next Sunday, September the 4th, the Sunday Audible football shows up. Football show shows up again every Sunday morning. Well, it'll be every Saturday morning for most of the year. It's going to be Sunday to start. So, again, join John Mahefka, myself, and Jeff for the fun. And also, guys, remember, speaking of football, we got the two of us, Frankie and Frankie, and we're all in the new Staten Island Fantasy Football League, which Jeff
oh,
and
yeah,
I are co-managing our team. I'll be going out to Jeff's house early this week. I got some stuff to go with him. So we're going to start working on our draft. And
you're coming over. We're getting pizza.
All right. I will. It's probably Monday or Tuesday. I'm going to stop by after work, and we'll kind of go through our game plan. We're going to get ready for the big draft, which Jeff and I are going to do at least on the air together. I think we can both log onto the computer and then log maybe onto the show somehow, or we may be doing it together. We'll see what the schedules bring. But we're looking to kick some ass. That's right, the Stanley Football League. We'll take out Frankie's Russell Wilson theme team and Frank Jeffrey and his Tua team. We'll take them out this year. I think we open up the season against Frankie Jeffrey.
Tua, man, wow.
Yeah.
What's going on over there with him?
Interesting.
What the fuck? The guy goes out and he plays, and I mean, it's like they want him to play, they want him to do good, but yet they won't let him go on the field to do it. It's like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, you know what? Again, I understand the quarterbacks are such a commodity. You know, when you start talking about I think the backup in Miami is Teddy Bridgewater.
Bridgewater, yes.
I don't think anybody's hoping and praying that Teddy Bridgewater starts for their team this year. So I get it. To a certain extent, I think a guy like Tua, a guy like Jalen Hurts, a guy like Daniel Jones, Zach Wilson, those guys need to play in the preseason because they're not Aaron Rodgers. They're not Tom Brady. They're not Russell Wilson. You know, they can't just flip the switch and gonna turn it on. So especially with the fact that they have upgraded their team in Miami with a new coach who's got really weird hair, and the guy's kind of just strange looking. I don't know what to make of Miami, Jeff. I don't know if getting Tyreek Hill, making the moves that they make, that a good draft. You know, I wonder if Miami's going to make that step in the division.
I don't know if they're going to make the step in the division, but I mean, they definitely put enough pieces in place that it should make life a lot easier for Tua. Mm-hmm. But yet, nobody wants to seem to let this kid like play and get the chance. Like since he's been down there, I don't know. They've always been talking about him like, is he good enough? But yet he's still there.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand it. I really don't. You know,
yeah.
I'm surprised. Do you think they go after Garoppolo?
Well, you know, I think that's the question of the day. You know, where is Jimmy Garoppolo? He's obviously not going to be in San Francisco. I mean, we all know he's not going to play. How do they hold on to him as an insurance policy? I don't think so. I still say the place he winds the bet that. The most logical place is Seattle, although Seattle seems to be pretty much, I think is going to be in Geno Smith's hands for a year until they tank and they get the number one or number two pick in the draft. So,
I really, honestly, truly think that everybody is sitting back waiting for Garoppolo to see what happens with him.
Because
now you've gone through the whole preseason. So now even if he gets shaken loose somehow, some way to get him. Now, last I saw, I think it was on NFL.com, they said that he's a good candidate to get cut, never mind get traded for, because who's going to trade for him at this point?
Well, I think that becomes the thing. So, I mean, I think they were hoping, San Francisco, that somebody would either get frustrated with their quarterback or a quarterback would go down in the preseason and a team would be desperate enough to give them a lot of things. I think the last thing they want to do is cut him. The dead space and the cap money, all that stuff.
Yeah, why would you want to cut him? That would be nuts.
Yeah, so, but again, at this point, you know, this team's not playing. I think the only other thought process for them would be to hold on to him with one of their roster spots and then hope somebody in the first month of the season gets desperate for a quarterback. Well, could they cut him? It's possible. I just think that you're not helping yourself with the cap at all. And you get nothing.
Don't you ask to get released at the very least?
I'm sure he's already asked for it. I would imagine he's already said, guys, if you don't want me, just let me go. And they're trying to, A, not have to pay his whole salary, and B, try to get something back for him. We have a third-round pick, a bag of footballs, some chalk, something. You know, but, you know, we all know at some point in the first 3 weeks, somebody starting quarterback is going to go down for a significant period of time. And the question is going to be, who is it? Who is it? And do they want to make a rental out of him? And I don't know the answer to that.
Well, I mean, listen, I'm sure that he himself is missing out. I mean, with some of the quarterback moves that were made, like he himself is missing out on.
Oh, I'm sure.
I would have asked, like, you know, release me. Do something. Give me the chance. You already said that this kid is going to play. Trey Lance
is starting quarterback.
Trey Lance. So let me at least go get a chance to go get a job someplace.
Yeah, again, I think he's screwed. I don't think he'll – again, I think he'll wind up with a job. Listen, nobody's telling me Carson Wentz is making through a full season as a quarterback in Washington. You know, the Redskins are definitely going to be looking for a quarterback at some point this year. You're not going to tell – you know, right now, there's a bunch of guys. I mean, right now, there's just talk Kenny Pickett may wind up starting in in Pittsburgh.
Right now there is no opening due to injury.
No, right now there's not. You're right.
There should be openings due to subpar play.
100%. Yeah. And again.
Okay, but there is no openings due to injury. And a lot of these people, they rushed at the chance to sign some of these guys.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz gets signed up real quick. A couple other moves that make you like shake your head that like, why would they do this?
I agree. Again, right now, I think Frisco's played it wrong. I thought that trying to make a decent trade at the draft would have been the right move. Carolina. There's a bunch of teams.
Carolina is committed to Mayfield.
Well, now they are. Now they are. I'm saying before that trade went down, you know, that's a place that he could have wound up. I still can't imagine that New Orleans is thrilled to have Jameis Winston as their starting quarterback. I'm sorry, I can't buy into that. I can't believe that the Redskins are thrilled to have Carson Wentz.
The Saints they looked into somebody else before they re-signed Winston. Who else is that they looked into?
Frank Jeffrey will know. Frank, you'll know. For a few fleeting minutes, you know, Tampa was looking for a quarterback before Brady came back 40 days later. You know, there was a few spots, and I don't know what Frisco was thinking about by holding on to him. And now the likelihood you're going to get next to nothing back for the guy. Unless
I think sometimes you ever think that maybe Tom Brady's retirement was just a ruse.
I don't know. Good question.
Let the fans of Tampa Bay think that at least they had some kind of shred of hope.
Yeah, you know, here's what I think, to be honest with you. I think that his wife wanted him to retire. He retired. He stomped his feet. He brooded around the house, and she said, "Listen, go play football one more year, and let's be done with it." And I think that's exactly what happened. I think that he didn't want to retire. I think his wife and his kids wanted him to retire, and he just basically wanted one more season. And I don't blame him. You do it until you can't, because once you stop, you ain't going back. So I don't necessarily think they have a chance to win it this year. I think they have a chance to get there because I don't think anybody's great in the NFC. But
I think he did it simply because he didn't want Bruce Arians as the coach.
That's the other theory that's been running around out there. Listen.
I mean, because it was awfully strange how Bruce Arians stepped Mike the fuck down. And,
yeah.
You know.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of room. I mean, you saw the one today. I saw this one this week where he almost went to Oakland, to Vegas. Dana White had the whole thing worked out, and John Gruden put the kibosh to it, which shocks me to hell. Noel. I mean, if you're John Gruden, why wouldn't you want Tom Brady? I mean, is it you want to be the smartest guy in the room? And I think he's the most overrated coach I've ever seen, John Gruden. I don't know if Frankie agree, but I think John Gruden's probably the most overrated football coach I've ever seen. But, I think that's an interesting, you know, what would it have been like had he, instead of going to Tampa, he went out to Vegas. That would have been an interesting, and what happens to Derek Carr? Derek Carr winds up someplace.
Oh, God. Thank God that didn't fucking happen, because then we'd have the little fella on the phone.
Oh, my
from
God.
From beginning to end.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, I could hear it now.
We got Tom Brady. We're going to win this. Yeah, then I would have to stop rooting for Tom Brady. I would have had no choice. I would have had zero choice with the little fella. He would have been all beside himself. But you know what happens. Tom Brady goes there. And he breaks his spine because you know that the little guy is the mush of all mushes. You just know that the little guy is a mush of all mushes. So there's no way in the world that Dom Jinta would have had any luck if Tom Brady went there.
Yeah. So like Tom Brady rolls out onto the podium and like, who am I? Christopher Reeves, right?
Like, Tom Brady signs his paper. All of a sudden the earth opens up, the devil comes out, and the whole Las Vegas team is smothered in a big hole down to the center of the universe. You know, it's just, you know, that would have been that whole thing with Dom Jinta. But
except for Dom, they kick him out.
That's very true. Yes. Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom here Thursday night having some fun. We got a little while longer. We're talking a lot of football right now. I got some other topics to get to. In fact, let's see what else is on the thing here. Let's see. Where do we want to go? Let's talk about the little Jets and Giants. We're getting close to that time of the year. It's game three. We're a couple weeks away from the regular season. You know, Jeff, you're a guy. You pay attention. What, give me a little. What's your thoughts right now on the Jets? I mean, obviously, a big disappointment with Zach Wilson being out maybe till game one or maybe a little into the season. Most people think could play week one. They may hold him out, but you know, the defense seems to be playing better. There's a lot of talent on that team, especially on the defense now. Are you, you know, what's your early thoughts on the New York Jets?
I think they're capable of being a 500 team if they get off to a, you know, somewhat of a good start. I think that with what's going on with the AFC North, with their four straight games there, that they could actually come out of there 2-2.
Sure.
Maybe even 3-1. I'm going to back it up because I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And with Baltimore,
yep.
You know, if Lamar Jackson is going to be 100% into it with not having the long-term deal.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh with their quarterback situation.
That's interesting right now. I think that Pittsburgh has a chance to be a sub-500 team this year.
And
Cleveland.
Cleveland. With everything that's going on, I think a lot of wind came out of the sails in Cleveland Watson was first told 6 games and now it's 11 games. I think they took a lot out of there. I don't think that Jacoby Brissett is who you're going to want to be standing behind for 11 weeks. So if the Jets want to come out and play hard and play sharp, I mean, 3-1, yeah, this is a pipe dream, but, you know, they could also be 1-3 also, or 0-4.
I think legitimately, I think that the Jets are capable of being 2-2 coming out of that. Now, again, I don't know how good Zach Wilson is going to be. You know, you're talking about Joe Flacco starting the first week of the season. You know, who knows, or maybe the first 2 weeks of the season. So anything's possible. I haven't seen enough of the Jets myself. I've watched, you know, the preseason games a little bit. To get a better feel, I think it is a blessing. I don't believe that division is going to be very good. I think theoretically, I think Cincinnati's gotten much better. They fixed that offensive line potentially. Lael Collins, they've done a couple things on that offensive line to get better. That was the big thing. I mean, they gave up 51 sacks in the regular season, and I believe another 19 in the playoffs. and still made it to the Super Bowl, and really was a couple plays away from winning the Super Bowl. So if they fix that offensive line, that would be incredible, right? It's an incredible feat to figure they give up 70 sacks and still almost won the Super Bowl.
And the guy that was getting sacked, man, just had his knee surgically repaired.
Yeah.
You think that they would do everything under the sun to keep him upright?
Yeah, and they did. And, you know, here's the question. I mean,
they gave up 70 sacks. Well, this year they did, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. You know, again, you never know. You know, football's so fickle now, Jeff. You know, years and years ago, you would say there was a progression. You know, you'd be bad. You'd be not so bad. You'd be okay. You'd be good. Then you'd be great. You know, it was a progression to it. And you may hang in there for a couple of years. Now you can be great one year, bad the next, great again. You know, who knows, you know, with that Cincinnati team. Now you would think with the receivers they have, the quarterback they have, fixing the offense and getting better on defense, that should be the best team in that division by far. I really don't have much hope for Baltimore. I think Pittsburgh with Trubisky at quarterback, I think Trubisky starts that season. And short of having a really great record, I think Kenny Pickett's a quarterback by October.
You know what? The thing with Pittsburgh that gets me, they went after Trubisky.
Yeah.
Okay, so they went after Trubisky. But they went after Trubisky with the mindset of that he played behind Josh Allen.
Yes.
So he's had to have learned something.
Yeah.
So in other words, is this where we're going now with quarterbacks in the NFL?
Yeah.
Because you played on a team that had a great quarterback that you by default had to learn something and are that much better this year than you were last year?
Yeah.
That alone is psychotic thinking, I feel.
Well, Jeff, that's not the only one. Look at Marcus Mariota. Mariota played sparingly behind Derek Carr and got a starting job in Atlanta.
Yes, but this is the difference between Marcus Mariota. Marcus Mariota was a starter for several years.
Yeah.
That's one thing. Second of all, he's going to Atlanta. This isn't a team that's poised to get to the fucking playoffs or a Super Bowl. You're talking about Atlanta Falcons. You know, this is a team that's probably going to be one of the ones competing for a top five draft pick. So I wouldn't go too crazy.
Well, I mean, here's the guy. I mean, listen, your last year for the Raiders, you know what his stats were?
He didn't play much, but
10 games,
sure,
played 10 games. He was 1 for 2, 50 yards. No, I'm sorry. 1 for 2 for 4 yards and no, obviously no touchdowns, no nothing. The year before he was 17 for 28 for 226 yards, one TD. Listen, he ain't lit it up in a very long time.
No, he hasn't. He hasn't lit it up in a very long time. You're 100% right. But nonetheless, the man has starting experience.
Yeah, I agree. So does Trubisky.
No, he played. What's that?
So does Trubisky. I've checked. Trubisky.
Yeah, but Trubisky, I don't think, had the same success as Mariota did. I think Mariota was a couple steps ahead of Trubisky.
Well, let me give you Trubisky stats. How's that? Let's see. Okay. Let's see. You want his best year or you want his overall?
Well, how many years did each one of them play? Mariota's in the league, what, 6 or 7 years?
Hold on a second. I got to do a comparison. Hold on a second. Let me bring that up for you.
Trubisky's in the league, what, 4 or 5 years?
Okay, Trubisky came out in 2015. Mariota came out in 2015. Trubisky came out in 2017. So it's a 2-year difference.
So 7 years and 5 years.
Correct. So I'll give you Trubisky's best year was 11.
But Trubisky played, what, 3 years?
4 years in Chicago as the starting quarterback.
Okay. I didn't even think he was in there.
Yeah. Now, his best season was 2018. His team went 11-3. Now, think about this. He played 4 years. You'd think he had a bad team. His first year, he played 12 games, 4-8. His second year, played 14 games, went 11-3. The third year, he played 15 games, went 8-7. And his last year, he played 10 games, and he went 6-3. You know, he only had one losing record.
He didn't play a full season.
Green.
Two, wasn't Chicago running on defense for the most part back then?
I think that was the 18 or 19 season when they got traded for Khalil Mack and they had that tremendous defense. But listen, the guy, I'll give you a quick stats.
Yeah, well, he started in 17, though, Tom.
I got you. But again, and they were a bad team and he didn't play the whole time. I'm just going to give you let's say 18. He threw for 3,200 yards, 24 TDs, 12 interceptions. The next year, 3,100 yards, 17 TDs, 10 interceptions. And then this last year in Chicago, again, only 9 games, 16 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Again, I'm not telling you that he was a great quarterback. I'm just telling you, I don't think he was as bad as we all came out to believe. They just didn't win big games, and they were stuck in a division behind the Packers.
You say that he wasn't might not have been as bad as we thought, but yet he wasn't on a team, and last year he was a backup.
Correct.
And he couldn't get a stranglehold on the job in Chicago, and he wasn't putting up that bad in numbers.
Again, I don't think Trubisky's a great quarterback. I certainly wouldn't want him, but I don't think he's as bad as most people think. Now, again, did he deserve to get a job based on sitting behind Josh Allen for a year? No, it doesn't make any sense. He threw 8 passes all of last year. I don't know that he got much better as a quarterback to give the job to. But, again,
Not eight passes worth.
Yeah, but, again, I would also say that in an offseason where you had a couple of big names moving around, if you think about it, how many teams have a better quarterback than Mitch Trubisky? I mean, the Carson Wentz is not better. Mariota is not better. Winston, I don't think, is better. We can go, there's a bunch. Is Tua better than Trubisky? Is Jalen Hurts better than Trubisky? Is Danny Jones better than Trubisky at this point? There's a bunch of guys.
All I'm saying is that if you're on a team that needs a quarterback,
yeah,
such as the way that Chicago was, such as the way Geno Smith was when he was on the Giants,
yeah.
The Jets, and Tua, okay. As Frankie wants to put it, and you get cut from those teams or traded from those teams,
yeah,
or don't get a second chance, there's a reason.
Oh, no, I agree.
They're already saying Trubisky doesn't look that sharp in
preseason. Oh, no. Yeah, I saw it, yeah. Yeah, there's rumors out there that Kenny Pickett could either start the season or by very early on be the starting quarterback. So, yeah, I agree with that.
So, there's a – You got to see what happens, but right now I don't think it's looking so good for Mr. Trubisky.
No. I agree. I kind of agree with you on that, Jeff. Why is my screen going off crazy like that? Holy cow! I agree with you. I'm not. I don't think Mitch Trubisky is long for the job there. I think if he's smart, he plays as well as he can early because he might not get too long a chance at it. And I think that's the same for Marcus Mariota. I think it's a lot the same for Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan is an established veteran with how many years in the league. Everybody knows what the story is with Matt Ryan. He's on the tail end of his career, but Matt Ryan doesn't have to prove that he's a player in the NFL. He just played for some shitty teams in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe now this may be one of the better teams that he's ever, played with in Indianapolis.
Right.
He also did go to a Super Bowl and, not fare very well out there.
Yeah, no, again, listen, I think we've talked about this. The quality of quarterback play in the NFL has dropped off significantly. I don't care what anybody tells me. The top 10 5 years ago or 7 years ago or 10 years ago is head and shoulders better than the top 10 you're going to give me today. So I get you.
You keep saying that.
I do.
I have to disagree.
No, you're
always going to be a top 10 no matter.
No, I got it. But the level of the top 10 is different. I grant you, Jeff, there's always a top 10. There's 10 the top.
Exactly.
But the top 10 quarterbacks of today versus the top 10 quarterbacks of 10 years ago are different levels. I'm not telling you.
You can't say that right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Think about it.
Go ahead.
We finished the top 10 years ago that some of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league were Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Brees, Eli. Roethlisberger, Rivers. Mm-hmm. These are a lot of these guys are Hall of Fame quarterbacks with Super Bowls
yeah.
on their resume. Now you fast forward 10 years, okay? Who are the quarter? Who are the Super Bowl winning quarterbacks? Matthew Stafford, okay, who just won one at this late in his mm-hmm. career. Tom Brady still. What's his face?
Aaron Rodgers.
Mahomes.
Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers got one.
Yeah.
You know, he wins MVPs. He doesn't win Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, what happens when Allen starts winning? Let's say he wins. Let's say Herbert starts winning. Let's say that Mahomes wins a couple more. Let's say that Burrow gets in there a couple more times. That in another 2 years, let's say Burrow wins two, lost last year, but wins the next two Super Bowls in a row. Mm. You're not going to say that he's a great quarterback if he went three times, won twice?
Yeah, but I'll agree with you. I'm saying is as of today, based on the guys in the league and what they've accomplished, it's different. That doesn't mean that next year or 2 years.
Yeah, but the guys that are the top 10 now don't have the time. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I mean. They don't have the same amount of time in the league that
Agreed.
Those guys are talking
but
about. They need to
I agree.
Time.
I agree with you. Again, I'm not saying that potentially a couple years from now we'll think differently of it. I'm saying as of today, based on who's playing, their experience levels and all that, it's the quarterback play is different. You know, 7 or 8 years ago, Matthew Stafford wasn't even close to being a top 10 quarterback. We were lucky we got him in the top 15. Now the guy's easily a top 10 quarterback. I'm not telling you that he – I don't
he's
even think he's
– a quarterback because he's got a Super Bowl trophy, Tom. If he didn't have a Super Bowl, he wouldn't be a top 10.
But then again, that's my point. I'm not telling you that a couple years from now, when you think of Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert and you know, the guys who are still playing in this league, you might have a better crop of quarterbacks. I'm not arguing. Zach Wilson could turn into, you know, the next great quarterback. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. I'm not disagreeing. I'm saying as we stand here today, I don't think the quarterback level is as good as it was 10 years ago. Potentially, maybe you're right. It could be.
Listen, I understand. But yeah. what I'm saying, though, is like you're saying, there needs the potential to grow.
Sure.
They don't have the time in the league that the same guys that you were talking about, the same top 10 years ago had. Mm-hmm. You know, Roethlisberger,
yeah.
Manning. Rivers, who else was that came out in that class? Wasn't there another one that came out in that class? Wasn't there four of them that came out in that class?
Let me think about that for a second.
You know, just those three coming out in the same class.
Sure.
Okay? Meaning Brady, Peyton, and Breeze. That's six out of your top 10 right there.
100%.
Six out of your top 10.
100%.
80, seven.
Yeah. I'm just saying is I get your point, and I love some of these young kids. I love Justin Herbert. I think he's going to be – I think this year he takes a huge step forward. I think he
I
might be the best.
A huge step forward. But you know something, too? You got to remember, every time you talk about a top 10, there's always the one guy. There's the one guy from Miami, Marino, the
yeah.
guy that played great, got to the Super Bowl once, and that's it. Maybe that's Burrow.
100%. Listen.
Maybe Herbert never makes it to the Super Bowl. Look, Rivers never made it, and Fouts never made it to the Super Bowl.
Right, but I also don't think that I have to put – to be a great player, or great, and especially the quarterbacks, I don't think you have to have the Super Bowl title to be a great player. If Dan Marino retired without even having played in one, he's still a great quarterback. Is it
– would
somebody else be a little ahead of him, like a John Elway – or somebody of that, or maybe I'm not a huge fan of Troy Aikman. If you say, okay, well, he's got two Super Bowl rings or three Super Bowl rings, and he was a good quarterback too, yeah, maybe. But when I pick a, for me, there's nothing to do with anybody else. But if I pick a quarterback, it's based on him as a pure passer, how he handles his team. You know, yes, of course, you think about wins and losses, Jeff. But to me, it's more that than anything, because there's only so much you can control in the game as a quarterback. You know, you can't make a guy catch the ball,
listen,
a guy block a few.
I hear you,
yeah.
But my point being is that when Dan Marino was in the NFL, he
yeah.
was looked upon as one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Oh,
he got to the Super Bowl once.
Yep.
Frankie brings up a point. Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl with the Ravens.
I agree.
Okay, but look at the defense that they had.
Correct. Well, that's what Frankie's saying.
That they were, the overall team that they were. Yeah. He was a piece on the team.
Yeah. Yeah, again, I think you can look at Trent Dilfer. You know, there's a guy who won a Super Bowl with the Ravens because they have the best defense on the planet. You know, so I don't totally equate quarterbacks and their greatness based on Super Bowls. You know, to me, it's...
I'm not saying two. I'm just saying that, like, you, no matter how great you are as a player, as a quarterback,
it
doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get to that spot.
Great.
Getting to the Super Bowl may be the hardest thing in sports.
Yeah. Yeah, listen. And again, Frankie's right. You know, Eli won two Super Bowls, and he played great football in it. But those teams won because they kicked the crap out of people with the defensive line that couldn't be stopped. I'll be the first to admit it, but I take the whole package. I think potential. There's a lot of good quarterbacks around right now that I love watching play. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. Although I'm not the biggest Patrick Mahomes fan in the world, but I like watching the guy play. I love watching Justin Herbert. I love watching Joe Burrow. I think the guy's tough as nails. You know, there's a lot of good quarterbacks to watch now. And a couple years from now, this could easily be a great one of the best top 10, top 15 quarterbacks around. Right now, there's those guys, and they're on the borderline of being great, and then there's a big drop-off in players, big drop-off. Yeah. Zach Wilson, we'll see. Let's see if he stays on the field or if his headband don't fall down over his eyes as he's running.
Oh,
so,
you're just fucking jealous.
I'm jealous. But listen, we started off talking about the Jets, and again, this is a big year. And, you know, I hate the fact, I'm not a Jet fan, I'm not a Jet hater, but I hate the fact that guys...
I have proof that you're a Jet hater. I got all the proof I need right here.
I think it sucks that guys like Zach Wilson and Robert Saleh, and they're going into their second year, and people are already talking, well, if it doesn't work out this year, we got to make a change. You know, you got to give these guys a chance. You know,
there is no chance. Tom,
I got
it. The NFL is from game one.
Yeah.
If you're not on the right path from game one, then you're not going to do it.
I get it, but you know, I don't know if Robert Saleh is ever going to be a great football coach. I don't know, but I also don't think that 2 years, 3 years is enough chance to really know and have a guy really become who he is, especially a guy who's never been a head coach anywhere. You know, I get it.
Be a head coach, and he'll never be a head coach anywhere else if he fucks this up. Look at Rex Ryan. He's been out of the league for how long?
Well, he blew it twice. He blew it twice. That's
okay, but he never even had a chance again. Never even got a chance to even be a defensive coach. A defensive coordinator, nothing. Eric Mangini, gone.
Yeah.
Joe Judge, he'll never get another job. Pat Shermer will never get another job.
No.
You just don't see it.
Well, but you know what? Some guys.
Matt Patricia was defensive coordinator on the Patriots, went to his own team. Now they got him working on the offensive side of the ball. Isn't he a defensive specialist?
Yes. Well, no, but now he may be the offensive coordinator on that team.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. He is a defensive specialist, and now they made him offensive coordinator.
I don't know. Here's the thing. I think guys like that are – listen, Brian Daboll came up as a defensive coach, and now he turned into an offensive guru. And I think Frankie's right. Some guys are great second bananas, and I think Rex Ryan was one of those guys. But Rex Ryan also had
Is Rex Ryan, once he fucked up in Buffalo, that was it.
Yeah.
He never got another call from anybody. He's not even on the fucking sidelines as the punting coach.
Yeah, I don't think he wanted to come back at anything lower. Rex was not a great coach. And again, some guys are just great second bananas. They're just not the lead guy. Then there's other guys who are great lead guys. I mean, I don't see a lot of great coaches nowadays. But again, I also think that guys are not, you know, tell me how many coaches make it 10 years in their job anymore. It just doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't happen. Not like it once did, but that's because a lot of these guys, they're up against the eight ball from day one.
Oh, 100%. If you don't win in 3 years, you're on the chopping block. And again, you know, there are guys who just aren't good coaches. What's his name? We had the Giants offensive coordinator and the one who wore the funny suit. Huh?
McAdoo?
Yes. McAdoo was a great offensive coordinator and a really good quarterback's coach, but he wasn't a head coach. And neither was Joe Judge. Joe Judge did a bad job. I like Joe Judge. I wanted him to be successful. He just wasn't a head coach. You know, and there's other guys who take to it. Tom Coughlin was, a good coach coming up and wanted to be a great head coach. How do you become a great head coach? You get great players and you win a couple games.
Tom Coughlin ended up cutting his teeth in Jacksonville.
Correct.
And got time to play or coach a team in Jacksonville and slowly brought them along. And, I mean, you know, they did get a little bit better, but, you know, they never had sustained success. And then he came to the Giants, and he was a lot more successful with the Giants.
Sure.
But until they won the Super Bowl, he was on shaky ground, too. Oh. And it didn't look like he was going to make it.
Hey, Frank, I just saw your message. Is my mic staticky still? It sounds clear on my end. Am I staticky, Jeff?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay, good.
No, very good.
Oh, good. Okay.
That doesn't mean that you're not that you don't hear.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if it might be on Frank's end. That's why I'm asking. Because
no, you sound fine.
Yeah, in my headphones. Okay, so I guess I still am. I don't know, Frank. Maybe it's your connection to us. I don't know because my end it's clear. Jeff's saying I'm clear. Usually, Jeff will send me a message.
He's clear. Yeah. Everything sounds good.
Again, Hard Rocket Sports, Jeff and Tom, we're bouncing stuff back and forth here, having some fun. I'm glad you guys have stuck with us today. Again, we're close to the NFL season. Lots going to be lots and lots to talk about then. We'll be doing this every Thursday night right through the season. And, of course, on Sunday mornings or Saturday mornings, we'll be doing the Sunday Audible show. Hopefully, Jeff's work schedule will change a little bit in the near future. He'll be on full time. And in the meantime, it'll be John, I, and Jeff popping in. So make sure you guys stick around for all of that. We got a little bit more to talk about tonight. We might end this a little early, but either way, we're having some fun. The Giants, Jeff, I don't know how much you're paying attention to the G-Men. I watched last Sunday's night game. I'm sure you didn't watch the preseason game. I was impressed with a couple things. I thought the offensive line did a really nice job. Now, again, you're playing your starters. You're probably playing against the second team defense. Maybe get a couple of the offensive starters for that team that night. But I was impressed with the way the Giants moved the ball. I thought Daniel Jones, 14 of 16, 100-and-something yards, moved the ball well. And the one interception he had was a nice throw to the tight end who tipped it up in the air and it was picked off. I still have a lot of questions. I mean, you know, Kadarius Toney's still not on the field, Jeff. Kenny Galladay, he has a good practice and people are having a heart attack. Like, oh, my God, he's having a great practice. It's practice. You can't make a catch in a game. I still don't know if Daniel Jones has the weapons. Now, I am expecting big things out of Saquon Barkley this year. I think the guy's healthy. I think the guy's motivated. I think he's got a better offensive line. But I think in the wideout spot, boy, here's a couple kids he had. They're all down right now. One guy just went out with this guy, Colin Johnson, who played really well. He's out for the season with an Achilles problem. You know, Jeff, I know you don't think much of the
Achilles,
Giants, but...
He blew his Achilles, I believe.
Yeah, he completely screwed himself up. So he's out this year. But, you know, I think this Giant team, I think there's some potential for some better games. You know, they're over and under 7.5 wins. Boy, I want to bet the over on that, but I think we may be looking at a 6-win season. We'll break it down a little bit more in a couple of weeks when we go through the schedules. But so far for this Giant team, it's hard to get a read. It's another year with a new coach.
Listen, I don't think the coach has anything to do with it this year, Tom. I will say this much. I think they're putting a lot of pressure on the coach.
Sure.
They keep talking him up. That's one thing. Second, they have too many of Gettleman's pieces on this team. Kadarius Toney, Galladay, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have signed Galladay in the first place, not to the deal that they did. And Kadarius Toney, I don't know, the guy just can't seem to be healthy and stay on the field.
No.
I mean, look at it, like another Denzel Mims, it seems.
Yeah.
Just can't get on the field no matter what happens.
I agree with you.
I don't know. I think that they need to clear a little bit more house until they could really get their players in there. But are they going to be given the time? Two, are they going to have salary cap issues? And three, are people going to be patient enough to let this play out? Because usually by year three, if you haven't won the Super Bowl yet, then, you know, you're not coaching in the NFL.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just how it is. And
it's sad. But you know what? Here's the problem. Here's the problem that this team, this coaching staff and the general manager have. I love Daniel Jones. I think he's the right guy. But if he turns out to not be, if he gets hurt again this year for a significant amount of time, if he doesn't reach the potential that he's got, you know, then you're going to be in year two starting over now with a handful of plays that you're stuck with because you're stuck with Galladay at least another year. You're stuck with Kadarius Toney, the hope that he turns it around. You know, and you're stuck with salary cap problems. And now you're going to draft another young quarterback who's probably a couple years away. So if Daniel Jones doesn't work out, if it doesn't work out with him, this team could be 3-4 years away from being potentially a better team. If he works out, it could go quicker. It's possible.
If he works out, could it go quicker? I don't know. Then you're talking about you're going to start to win with this guy in year seven or six or seven. But
no. If he's playing well, you can win next year. A couple, you'll get.
You need to get solid wide receivers.
Yep.
You need to have a solid offensive line. Well, I'm not going to say you need a solid running back option because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, we don't know yet. Yeah.
Barkley could be good. He could not be good. But they already proved you don't need a star running back.
Correct.
So, you don't know what's going to happen. But one thing that you do need, your quarterback is only going to be as good as your wide receivers. And if these two guys, one of them that they want to get rid of, what is that, Darius Slayton?
Yes, Darius Slayton.
Trying to get rid of.
Yep.
And then Sterling Shepard just came back from an injury.
Just get on the field for the first time surgery from last year.
This isn't a murderer's row of a receiving corps.
No,
a lot of people in there, but they're not.
Let me ask you this question. Eli Manning won two Super Bowls. I bet you couldn't name four of the guys who were his receivers during those years. Now, I can because I'm a fan. But if I tell you the receiving corps that Eli Manning won two Super Bowls with and that was significant players during those games, you go, really? Those are the guys he played quarterback? I mean, so I think
you don't need big-name guys.
Correct. Exactly. That's my point. You need solid players. Solid players.
But you can't have Kadarius Toney entering year two still not on the field and playing right.
Oh, I agree.
You can't have Holiday, who hasn't been able to play and catch.
I agree.
For about 3 years now.
Yep.
Does Galladay, does he get the bust label now after he was injured his last year?
Yeah, I would say he's got to be significantly better this year. I mean, listen, Jeff, here's a guy you paid top money to who didn't catch a touchdown last year.
You're paying him as a 1,000-yard receiver. He's got to get 1,000 yards.
At a minimum. But he's also got to put 8-10 touchdowns on the board. He was brought in because he's a big guy who can go up and get the ball and fight for it and force the corner to go jump ball. And there's a guy who didn't even come close to sniffing the end zone last year.
No.
That's the problem. See, I agree with you on Kenny Dow. I'm kind of mixed, and here's why I'm mixed. I think that he – obviously the Giants needed a big play receiver. Kenny Galladay was the only one in that class. He was the best receiver. And I'm not saying he was a great receiver. I'm saying he was the best of the available bunch. And Gettleman went out and got the best available guy. Same thing with Solder. We both know neither one of them worked out to date. But you can't knock the guy for going out and getting the best available. Now, did I think he overpaid? He obviously overpaid a lot.
Well, listen, we've discussed Solder many, many times before already. Bill Belichick cast off.
Yeah, and that should be the first red flag.
What's that?
That should be the first red flag.
Yeah, that definitely a red flag.
Yeah.
And then as far as Galladay goes, if, the Lions...
See you, Frankie.
...and everything else, see you next week, Frank. Galladay, if he was that good, why didn't his own team, the Lions,
agreed,
make better reps? Keep
them. That's another red flag. When your team that desperately needs receivers lets you go, it's telling you something. So I would agree with you. Especially, listen, I know most people, and you're a big Belichick hater, but if you're a general manager in the league and Bill Belichick's best offensive lineman comes up and he doesn't re-sign him, boy, oh boy, that's a huge red flag. That's a huge red flag.
I told you that from when they signed
him. I agree.
I hate Bill Belichick, but he's in the same division as the New York Jets,
mm-hmm,
who I root for. So you know all of his moves.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you're like, well, Bill Belichick let so-and-so go after 3 years with the Patriots, but 6 years in the league. Now, why did they let him go? And then next thing you know, the guy's fucking cutting cold cuts and making sandwiches at the A&P because he can't play in the NFL anymore. And I really think that a lot of people, Belichick seems to have that gift when it's time to give up on somebody or that's it, we're done here, stay away from him. The guy's damaged goods, or at least don't sign him to some record-breaking deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not going to work out.
Yeah, no. I think signing free agents, I think it's even harder. Because think about it. How many times do you see a big guy, a big free agent actually work out? Like, I bet you we couldn't name 10 guys in the last 5 years that were big-time free agents, whether they played for the Bengals or the Cowboys or the Giants and Jets, that somebody signed and that guy. I mean, look at Julio Jones. Here's Julio Jones, one of the best receivers of our era, of this era, goes as a free agent and goes to a team and is just buried. He's just horrendous.
But, Tom, you got to remember one thing with football, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You come into the NFL, where do you get to sign it? If you're a number one first-round pick,
yep,
first 10 picks, what do you get, a 10-year deal, a 5-year deal?
No, you get a 5-year deal, yeah. Usually 4 or 5 years, yeah.
Then you're still an unrestricted free agent, correct?
I think that's how it works. Yeah, pretty sure you're right.
Well, not unrestricted.
You're restricted free. You're restricted free agent. Yes.
For a year or two,
yep.
Then you're an unrestricted free agent. So that takes care of. Now you're up to year 7.
Correct.
Now, they could turn around and hit you with the franchise tag.
Correct.
Okay, and then depending on what they're paying you, they could hit you with the franchise tag again.
Yeah.
But now you're talking. Now you're almost up to year 9. Before you finally shake free from a team. Most of the guys that shake free from the team are not guys that you're going to want to build around anyway. They may be, not replacement players. What's the word I'm looking for? Shit. Come off the bench and be in the rotation type players. But you're not talking about players that are like, okay, let's get him and build our team around him.
Yeah.
Those guys don't get free. You know, once in a while you get a Jamal Adams.
Yeah.
Who talks his way out of there? They're just like, just get rid of him, you know.
No, I agree with that. Yeah, I
mean, Marcus May that shakes free somehow, some way. Well, you don't know what he's going to do down there in New Orleans.
No idea. I think when you start to talk about free agents, it's almost like, hey, we need a veteran guy to complete the roster, but you can't signing these guys to be the focal point or the guy you build around. You're right. You're usually 5 or 7 years into your career by the time you're even a free agent. I think the thought of bringing those guys in and being the centerpiece of your team is probably unlikely.
Dude, let's just real quick, Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold.
Yep.
Okay. Sam Darnold, I think, is what, 24, 25 years old, 26 years old, something like that.
Yeah.
And Baker Mayfield,
uh-huh,
I think, is like 2 years older than Sam Darnold.
Yes.
So already you got 2 years of wear and tear on Baker Mayfield one way or another. That kid, there was a couple quarterbacks that came out years ago. Brandon Weeden.
It was with the Panthers, right?
I don't remember where he came up with, to tell you the truth, but I know that when he came out into the NFL, he was 24, 25 years old in his rookie year.
Right.
So by year two, the guy was 27. It's like, who the fuck? I know he played on the Browns,
yes,
for a year or so.
Yep.
Who the fuck is going to want to build everything around him? By the time he gets going and gets 3 years on, he's 30 years old. Yeah, still able to play in the NFL, but you lost how many years? That, you know what I mean?
Well, Brandon Weeden, that's a weird one, and I'm glad you brought him up. You know, he came into the league, Jeff. You know how old he was?
That's what I was saying. It was like 27 when
29. You said
29?
29, his rookie year.
Oh, shit. I thought he was only like 27.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I know you said 27. He's actually even older than that. He hung in. Yeah, so he played 1, 2, 3. I don't know what the hell happened here. He played for 4 years. At 32, he played for Dallas and Houston in the same season, and then he disappeared for 2 years and came back in 2018 at 35 years old to finish his career. So with Houston. So he played – I was wrong. You were 100%. He played for Cleveland his first 2 years. Then he was in Dallas. And then he was his fourth year. He split between Dallas and Houston, disappeared for 2 years. I don't know if he was injured or retired. They brought him back. And then at 35 years old, he came back to Houston and played in one game and didn't do any. Must have just knelt on the ball or something. I don't know. So he only started one full season, and that was 15 games his rookie year, 5-10, 3,300 yards, 14 touchdowns, 17 interceptions.
Yeah, well, I mean, just, you know, somebody like, just to show you, you come into the league a little bit later. Most of these guys are coming in the league 21, 22 years old.
Yeah. Well, you're 100% right. Let's see something. I want to look at Sam.
I forget what the deal was with him. Why he was so old when he came into the league?
Yeah, I don't know. You know what? Let me check his Wikipedia.
He was like a walk on or something in college.
I want to say you're right. Let me see. Let's see his Wikipedia. Let's see what happened to Brandon Weeden real quick. Formerly played in the National Football League 7 seasons. He didn't play 7 seasons. You're wrong. After he pursued a baseball career from 2002 to 2006. Then he went to college at Oklahoma State and was the first round. So his first, he went to try to play baseball for almost 5 years. Then went to college late and started at Oklahoma State and then got drafted at age 28, started at 29.
Wow.
That's why, yeah, he tried to play baseball. He was a pitcher drafted in the second round by the Yankees. After 2000, he was traded to the Dodgers. But injuries and poor performance led Weeden to quit baseball. And then he enrolled at Oklahoma State in 2007. So 2007, he would have been 24 years old. He enrolled in college, Jeff. So that's why. Wow.
Well, you know what? You got to say it. You got to give him this much. The guy must have been a pretty decent athlete to play baseball for how many years?
Yeah.
Couldn't cut it in baseball, but then went and joined a football squad in college later on, when usually that guys are already in the league 2 or 3 years by that point in time. And he was starting college. And then he was a first-round pick.
Good enough to be a first-round pick is right, yeah. Interesting story, man. I tell you, I'm glad you brought him up because I didn't remember all of that. Just for the record, you are dead spot on. Sam Darnold came into the league in 2018 at 21, and Baker Mayfield came to the league, obviously, same year at 23. So there's a 2-year difference between these guys. So you're dead spot on. Good for you. Good job by you for that one. Interesting. Very interesting on that one, Jeff. Again, the guy's hanging in there.
Mayfield, didn't he, like, bounce around, too? Wasn't he with Texas, and then he went to Oklahoma? Or
Yeah, I think he did. I just minimized that whole thing.
It doesn't matter now at this point in time.
Yeah, I think he started his career, I want to say, at Texas or Texas Tech, and then he finished it at Oklahoma because I think he was a backup. He was the runner-up in the Heisman, if I'm not mistaken. What did he win the Heisman? Now you got me.
He won the Heisman. Look that up, Paul. I got to take a quick squirt.
Go ahead, man. Hard Rock Sports. Oh, no problems. What you got to do? Let me see if I can find that. So let's see. College career, Jeff. He went to... Yeah, I was right. Texas Tech. He went to Texas Tech, then Oklahoma. Baker Mayfield. College stats. Did he win the Heisman? I don't see it. I don't see that he won the Heisman. I don't. Oh, he did. He did win the Heisman. Just right. 2007, he won the Heisman. Okay. So he did go to Texas Tech, and then he went over to Oklahoma. Anyway, guys, I hope you guys are having fun. We're just shooting the shit, just running around the table today, as I like to call it. Throwing out some subjects and hit it. We're going to stick on the air a few more minutes. We'll end the show a few minutes early tonight and get ready for another week next week. But I'm glad you guys stopped by to hear Jeff and I spew what we spew. And thanks to Frankie Catalano and Frank Jeffrey. Hopefully Frankie Catalano gets better quick. And thanks everybody for stopping by tonight and hanging with us. Got Labor Day coming up. We hope you guys all have some plans for Labor Day, the unofficial end to the summer. When do you call it summer, Jeff? Do you wait till September 21st or whatever it is, or is Labor Day the cutoff?
Everybody says Labor Day. I mean, listen, you know what I call it the end of summer? When I'm going outside a little jacket on. Because we could still get 70-degree days in October.
Yeah, true.
So yeah. When I'm getting cool days, when I wake up in the morning and I can't put my shorts on, and I got to wear long pants to work, and I got to find a sweatshirt, and then it's finally, thank God, it's cool.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, with you, I, you know, I,